What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to What the Health with me, George Bertineau, standing in for Gabby Allen, who is now winner and queen of Love Island All-Stars Series 2 with Casey. A little bit about myself. I'm an online coach helping everyday people make everyday better decisions. I'm a BSc in rehabilitation. I've previously worked in professional sport for 5 years, and I've been a fitness and health expert for over a decade. And I'm here to talk to you about the world of health and fitness, supporting you through your fitness journeys. Each week, we will be joined by a range of guests to dissect the latest fitness trends, separating facts from myths, and advising you on achieving your health goals. Coming up on today's show, we are joined by Pooleba, boxer and former groom on Married at First Sight, and Dr. Edouard de Boinville, COO of the London Longevity Clinic. But first up, we are joined by Scott McGlynn, skin expert and host of Celebrity Skin Talk. Scott, hello and welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
Good, I'm very good, yes.
Good, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's dive straight into the questions, okay?
Yeah.
How did you first get into skincare?
Well, growing up, I always had like bad skin, acne, the whole thing, and I never found the right products for me. So I did really good research. I'm like, dermatology is my background. I got trained in there, and then I just really got into it very deeply and then loved it. And that's how it all came about, really. And I started talking about it online, and then that's when the show came out.
Okay, nice. Yeah. So you had bad skin from a young age, and then you kind of felt that that was something that you wanted to specialize in and kind of help other people like yourself, I'm assuming, yeah?
Yeah. Me, obviously myself, and then I got so much knowledge because not every person's skin type is the same. And I think sometimes we are like sold differently just from like promotions or packaging or something. So I think it's really important to just dive in on the ingredients and make sure it fits for your skin type, things like that.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, sharing that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Out of all the celebrities that you've worked with, would you say that there's a one individual that maybe had the best skin that you've ever worked with or not?
I wouldn't say the best skin, but because I'm five series in now.
Yeah.
And it's like 5 years of the show. But it's very interesting, should we say, the celebrities when they talk about the skincare. Because, it's hilarious. But yeah. All of them has been amazing. And it's so crazy. All of them are different, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, everyone's going to have a different personality. But also, I mean, you know, this isn't my area of expertise, but with skin, are there large varieties of how it works, how oily your skin gets, how dehydrated you are? Is it like, how does it kind of work? You know, do you find that there's lots of varieties of different textures to skin and stuff, or is everyone kind of the same and it's just different products work differently for different people?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's all different like skin products out there for different skin types. And the reason why the show is because obviously everyone's so intrigued with celebrity and the skincare and all that kind of glamorous side of it. So that's what part of the show is about. So it's just all bringing that into it. But yeah, everyone's got different skin types. But sometimes, you know, I interview so many people, you know, I think it's over 85 episodes now in, and Yeah, you know, all of them are different. And like everyone's, you know, some favorites keep popping up, you know, when I interview these amazing people. But it's good.
Okay, nice. Can you give us what your three top skincare tips might be?
Yeah, always cleanse twice a day.
Okay.
Absolutely. Cleanse twice a day, everyone.
I'm writing that.
Write this one down. Yeah, joking. I exfoliate twice a week, and SPF is a must, whatever the weather.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
How come with the SPF?
SPF, literally. So obviously, we know about the summer, the sun, we know all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But like winter, the pollution, even like our phones, like any kind of flat screen, all that's giving off like UV rays, all damaging. We don't want this. You know, everyone's on their phone all the time, right? And you're wearing it every day. It's giving that shield, that protection. And that is so important, like, to have every single day, literally. If it's raining outside, still put it on.
But there are still rays, right? I say this to clients all the time. If it's sunny, 10, 15 minutes every day outside, it's great for you. And if it's cloudy, 20 to 30 plus minutes is fine because you can still get UV rays, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's around all the time, but even just like the pollution, you know, especially living in the city, it's all around us, unfortunately. but yeah, even indoor heating. And big one as well, because it's so drying to the skin. It's just like really protection for you. So that is a very big must. Okay. And I'm always a 50 person.
Okay.
Back to 50 all the time.
Fine. Gotcha. Yeah. Nice. Anything you'd recommend people avoiding putting on their skin? Like, is there anything you're seeing at the moment? Any trends, anything on TikTok, anything on social media that people are continuously doing that you're thinking, geez, avoid that?
The ones I've seen is more the clinic side of it. So, for example, if something's trending for like a certain face peel or a treatment in clinic, just be cautious and just do your research because it might be trending at the time. For example, if it's, I think at 1 year it was like Kim Kardashian doing like the vampire facial was very, very out there, and it wasn't for everyone. Okay. So you got to be very careful and just do research, I always say.
Okay.
At home wise though, it's just like making sure it fits for your skin. It might be like a massive product like for that 1 month for simple, but then it just changed. That's how things online work so quickly.
Yeah, of course, trends come and go. I totally get that.
Yeah. Okay. So, but just knowledge yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure you get the right one.
Education is key, and I would probably say that the best thing for someone to do is, you know, listen to your series, or maybe go and see a dermatologist to actually find out before you go and try all these things and potentially damage your skin.
Yes, yeah. And so funny, like even with the celebrities, I've had people that's had really bad acne still in their adults. Like I've interviewed people of all different ranges. It's just not a certain age. So like they still have like adult acne, breakouts, psoriasis is another one. So all these people was bringing it in. Yeah, it was so interesting. That's all I love doing it. So
okay. Any skincare myths that you would like to debunk?
Myths?
Yeah, anything in particular that you'd like to kind of rectify people's views on?
I don't know. Like, everyone has a thing about eye cream. I don't know what it is. I'm not an eye cream person myself, but a myth is, like, it's just the same product in the smaller packaging and they put more of a price tag on it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That's what people keep saying. I'm like, okay. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not an eye cream person myself. You know, and I think it's very important just to take your care of yourself inside as well as the outside. I think it all goes hand in hand, right? Like, you know that. Yeah,
of course. Okay. Yeah. What are your thoughts on glass skinned trend, which has been going viral? So obviously we spoke about before, there's a glass skin trend at the moment.
Yeah.
What are your views on that?
Well, for me as a guy, it's not for me personally, but I don't know. But I've had my close girlfriends who loves it. It loves that shiny look. Mm. Going out like this, by the way. Like, they love
really?
They have it all, like, prepped, and then they have a really big shine on the face on makeup side of things. But I think it's more on preference, I believe.
Okay.
But then if someone's making content on it and trending, then, go ahead. But I'm not a fan of it myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know too much about it, so can you maybe explain it to me? Do you...
The glass thing?
Yeah, so like, is it just like a shiny look or like a wet look? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, like, for example, I don't know if you see it even with the hair, you know, where they have the gel back hair, like that kind of like washy hair. It's that kind of like trend thing at the moment. It was like the kind of thing. But basically, it's piling on as much, not as much product, but the really greasy products you can really get to make that glassy look, shine look.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. Are there any popular products you wouldn't recommend people buying? So I'm an individual who did those blackhead kind of like black mask things that kind of peel off. I never felt that they worked. Well, they kind of did anything. But is there any popular products that you wouldn't recommend people buying?
I wouldn't say popular. I don't know. Let me have a think. Like, I'm one of these people. Like, I love, like, certain brands and certain products. I won't name which ones I really, really love and like. I want to put it out there. But, you know, I do talk about it on the show a lot. But I always... I'm a person that if it's, like, a four-men product, I'm not sold by that.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So, for example, if it's something, like, very girly packaging, if it's picked, I don't care. It's a product I want to try. I think it's very unisex. I think it's quite important to not kind of just go, oh, it's only for men.
It's like sunglasses, right?
Yeah, I use any sunglasses.
Unisex, right?
Yeah, I use anyone. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, yeah. You know, and I'm very big and passionate about that, you know, because it's like a form of product. Only that's just for me or any guy out there who wants to try skin products. But I think that kind of thing I try to avoid a lot and try to really share about, because anyone can try anything. Everyone is trying to do everything unisex now and trying to make even the packaging more neutral.
Yes.
It's more as it was very pinky and girly before. Yes. Now they're trying to, and if you've seen the big change, and especially over the last nearly decade, I think it's been a massive shift.
Yeah, there has in marketing and everything in regards to kind of like genders and stuff. It's kind of, yeah, it's more unisex now, isn't it? It's kind of just neutral colours or however, really. Okay. Right. We touched upon it at the start about your podcast. Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
Celebrity Skin Talk. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, sure.
It's your pride and joy, right? It's your baby.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Do you know what? I first started out as like a podcast, literally just something like this. And then I just changed the app, you know, I think it evolved just in general, just all technology and everything was going live. Funny story though, because literally I always brainstorm and just think of new ideas. I'm quite creative that way. But then I was in the bath and I just thought, oh my God, I'm just going to do a talk show. And I was going to just do it all with skincare and their careers. And that's what happened. It happened and I launched it just after lockdown. I was thinking, oh no.
What a time.
Everyone wants to go back out, right? Like, nah. What? I don't want to stay in.
Honestly, great time.
Yeah. But it was just after that lockdown 2020. Mm. But Instagram Live was just massive then, because that was the only way to connect with people. Yeah. So I just grabbed it. And Zoom,
people
yes.
loved Zoom, didn't they?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Zoom definitely had a great year, a couple of years. But yeah, 100%. So then that's how it came about. And then I knew quite a few celebs already, just from being out and about. And then they came on, and then it literally just took
kind of
off.
Grew from there.
Yeah. And it's such a good show. I'm really proud of like where it's come from and how well it's doing. And even the names I've had on there, it's just like when I get like a yes from like the manager or PR, whichever it goes through, if it's not for them directly, I'm like, oh, perfect.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy. Like, I'm good.
I mean, if you're five series in, it's clearly been successful. You've clearly done well from it. And it's something quite unique, right?
Is there...
You know, for me, I've never heard of anything like this. So this is great. And you kind of get your gossip with your celebrities, but you also get to find out what your favorite celebrities do and how you would probably recommend things to them.
Yeah. You know, I always research on what I do before I do it.
Yeah.
And it went actually from series one, because that was a big series and I had Gabby on that series.
Yes.
Shout out to Gabby.
Yeah. I'm sat in a winner's chair, by the way.
Yeah,
people.
The winner. And I think she just not long finished. That's the first series, I believe. Oh, the one she went
three
on.
And four, yeah.
Yeah. So it was absolutely amazing to have her on as well. But I think from then it was so big, even like I had big publications out there wanting it.
Cool.
Yeah. And so it just went crazy. I don't know what. So, yeah, it's been crazy.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Right, Scott, where can we find you on socials?
Yeah, so it's Scott McLean Official on pretty much everything.
Yeah. Everything is Scott McLean Official.
Official.
And then obviously your podcast is Celebrity Skin Talk. Has that got a handle or anything like that?
It's all through Instagram. All on there. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time. You've been amazing. And I'm sure we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, see you soon. Thank you for having
Thanks again,
Thank
Scott.
You.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right, guys. Now we're going to be moving on to exercise of the week. This week, I've decided to go with a leg extension. So lots of running, lots of people with knee pain, knee discomfort. And this is an exercise that, quite frankly, is gospel when it comes to helping with quad and patella tendon health. So you should be looking at positioning yourself correctly. The pad needs to be on the shin, either lower shin more than upper shin. We need to be at 90 degrees with your hip, so making sure the seat is far enough back and making sure you have enough stretch on the quads. Now there's a couple of ways to do this exercise. Simply doing the full range of motion, so full extension and full flexion, which is going to help build quads, and that's the front of your leg. You've also got an isometric hold, like I've said previously, 5 sets of 45 seconds, or building up to 45 seconds. You can start with double leg and then you can work on to single leg, because this is a super important exercise for, like I said before, tendon and quad tendon health, patella tendon health. So if you have any knee pain, this is going to be an amazing exercise for you. You can also do, if you are looking to just build up quads and quad strength, you can do 3 sets of 12, you can do 4 sets of 6, you can do drop sets, you can, there's so many ways and so many varieties for you to change things up, really. So that is my exercise of the week. And coming up after this short break, I'll be joined by Paul Lieber, boxer and former groom of Married at First Sight.
FUBAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
I am joined now by Ricardo Mighty. He is the CEO of Mighty Labs.
I just think if you're going to get into crypto, you just can't think short term. If you're trying to, I don't know, like pay your bills next month and you think I'm going to invest in crypto this month and then I'm going to take the gains out and do something with, you just can't think like that, because 99.9% of the time, the market doesn't work the way you want it to work. It works how it's going to work. The longer you have your investment in crypto, most likely the better it will do.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Miss Chloe Brockett in the studio.
It got to the point where I wasn't enjoying it as much as I used to. I used to love it. You know, it was my life. I wasn't in relationships because I was going on TOWIE. I wasn't, you know, invested in anything other than the show because I loved it so much. And then as I got older, I just didn't enjoy it anymore. I noticed that the cast around me had changed. All the OGs had gone and I'd all of a sudden become an OG at 23. And was a bit like, you know what, I don't think this is for me anymore.
Politics Uncensored.
They can't turn off your water because water is a human right. It's not like internet, which we can talk about.
Are you saying we should all stop paying?
I'm not saying we should all stop paying. I think no one should have to pay.
Their argument would be prices are going up. We need all this money because we have to invest in our ageing Victoria infrastructure, which hasn't, there's been no new infrastructure built in sewage, whatever, since the Victorian era. How would you respond to that?
They're talking out of their backside. It's bullshit of the highest order.
Follow us at What the Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What the Health.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau, stepping in for Gabby Allen, winner of Love Island Series 2 All-Stars. Joining me now is Paul Lieber, boxer and former groom of Married at First Sight. Paul, hello, welcome.
Thank you for having me, George. That's a great introduction, Gabby, there.
No worries. Absolutely my pleasure. It's good to see you. How are you today? You good?
Yeah, I'm all good. Hey, sun's shining. Definitely cop mode.
Good. I'm glad. Right, let's start with some quick fire questions. So, 3 words to best describe yourself.
Happy, sportive, and positive.
Yeah, and I can definitely vouch for them. What animal would you be?
Oh, good question. I'll say a fox.
Ah, see, I would have gone with Kangaroo because you're a boxer, but hey. Who's the best boxer ever?
Best boxer ever? Do you know what? People might disagree, but I've got to give it to Usyk. He's done it all now. Different weight categories, won all the belts, and still undefeated.
Nice. Okay, I like it. Upper body or lower body in the gym?
Upper body. Looks good for the girls.
Yeah, you're a top heavy guy, I can tell.
Yeah.
Working out in the morning or evening?
Evening, definitely.
Okay. What is your go-to cheat meal?
Oh, it's got to be a burger and hot dog and chips for Five Guys.
Wow. Okay. A lot of food.
Yeah.
I love that. And dream workout partner? So who would be your favorite person to ever work out with?
Honey, I see somebody's workout routine. They're insane. I might end up crying, but it'll be him.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And final question, what is your workout anthem?
Workout anthem? I'll say DMX, X Gonna Give It To You. Gets wow. me lifting heavy.
Absolute great shout from you, Paul. So how did you first get into boxing?
So honestly, my friend, he started a... So there was no boxing in Bournemouth University. And he was my flatmate. He just went up to me, hey, you know if you do boxing, you'll pick up more girls. And I thought, I was like, screw it, yeah, let's give it a go. Did a few training sessions, few matches, but when you have like a shallow reason to do boxing, it doesn't really motivate you.
Mm.
And then unfortunately, my friend passed away and he was going to come to another boxing match I was going to do. So I said, screw it, I'll keep boxing.
Mm.
Just so I know he's watching down, it just make him happy. So I kept it up for that.
Yeah, nice. And a really kind of like touching reason to continue your boxing, continue your boxing career. Right, let's talk about your training routine. So we'll talk about non-prep for a fight, and then we'll talk about how you would then prep for a fight. So what's your normal training routine when you are just Paul the athlete?
So my normal training routine, say if I'm not in a camp or anything like that, so I'll go do some cardio, so like a boxing class or Muay Thai class, just to keep the muscles moving and then get the cardio in, and then I'll do weights afterwards. I think weights is something I've always done. It's like a habit now. I think I just can't stop doing weights, unfortunately.
Mm.
And then, so some days is a balancing act. So I'll do boxing, football, and weights at the end, or I mix it around like that.
Okay, nice. And then obviously when you're at a training camp, how would it work? Like, let's talk us through like Monday to Friday. Like, yeah. how would it look?
So training camp is intense, as you can imagine. You have to get your fitness in.
Yeah.
And the weight takes a back seat. So I wouldn't do weights really, just because I already got the size.
Okay.
And it does slow you down. So I'll finish work and I'll get straight to the gym for 6 o'clock. And I'll do 2 hours boxing, but it's like a fitness session. Then we'll have to do like strength and conditioning for like another 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And then you do the technical stuff at the end. Because by then you're already tired. You're struggling, your muscles are weak, and that's how it drills you and becomes habit. Because in a boxing match, it's all good having technique when you're fit and healthy, but it's when you're tired is when you really need it and you need to show off your skill.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I noticed, I've never been, you know, yes, I played rugby, and that is a form of combat sport, but you actually take part in a real combat sport. And I think a lot of people don't realise like the cardiovascular requirements for you as an athlete and an individual. I remember watching you in one of your fights, and I was like, wow, like that looks absolutely knackering. I'm tired and out of breath watching you. So like, what, how crazy are the cardiovascular requirements as a boxer? Like, do you think they're high? Like maybe, I don't know, like a 400 meter runner or a 5K? Like what would you say? Where would you put it?
I definitely rank it the highest. So I've done all sport. I've played football, I've played rugby, American football, I've done running. And I always say boxing is the most hardest cardio fitness out there.
Yeah.
Like you can be fit for running, you can be fit for football, but you might not be fit for boxing. But if you're fit for boxing, you're fit for it all.
Yeah. Well, it's aerobic and anaerobic, isn't it? It's that muscular fatigue as well as that cardiovascular fitness. Okay. Right. What weight category do you fight at?
So I fluctuate. So I can fight heavyweight, which is like 96 and above.
Okay.
Or can go down to cruiserweight, which is around 93. At the moment, I'm thinking, debating going down chest to middleweight. So that can be around 89 and under. So luckily, I'm quite good with my diet. So it's easy for me just to go up weight, go down weight.
Yeah, so that was going to be my next question, dropping weight as an athlete. So how does it work? So you get to weigh in, and then there's a couple of days between the fight where you can then put on water weight and stuff. So how do you drop weight as a boxer or as a fighter?
So dropping weight is hard, but the easiest trick is cutting out the carbs. Carbs is usually what you need for energy, helps you move, gives you the endurance. But when you cut carbs, you do lose weight very fast.
Yeah, of course. Water binds to glycogen, and I get that. So okay, so you would normally drop carbs completely. Would you do any sauna treatments or anything like that? Like, I've seen a lot of research on that as well. Or
sauna treatments is definitely a cheat code. It gets rid of the water in your body, and it definitely helps a lot. Like, it just makes you sweat, gets everything out of your body.
Yeah, okay, nice. Do you ever worry about any long-term injuries? Because I've known you, and you're a fit, young, healthy individual. Is that ever in the back of your mind?
100%. I think, especially after my last fight I had, I think at the end of the day, you're hitting someone, and you're hitting someone in the head, and obviously it's going to have an impact. There's no way about it. You can be as amazing as a boxer as you are avoiding hits, but in the ring, you're going to get caught a few times. And I think it's always at the back of your mind. You're thinking, oh, what's going to be like 20 years' time, 30 years' time? Is it going to affect me? Am I going to get some illnesses or diseases? But I think once you're in that sport, you just have to know it's part and parcel. It's one of those risks you have to take. Mm-hmm. And if you think about too much, it might take you out of the game.
Yeah, of course. I think with anything, if you overthink injuries and the possibility of a future injury, you're just thinking negatively and you're potentially manifesting it, I guess. So, I totally get that. Right. Are there any misconceptions about being a boxer that you'd like to dispel? Is there anything that...
100%.
Go on then.
I think, so with boxers, everyone always think they're tough, they're angry, they're vicious brutes, they're just rude people. But like me and most of the boxers I know, we are some of the most happiest guys and the nicest guys you'll ever meet, because boxing is a discipline. You have to learn respect. You have to treat others as they want to be treated. And I think that's what a lot of people get confused about. Like, we're all just human beings at the end of the day. It's just enjoy doing a sport, which involves punching.
Yeah, of course. I think for me, I can obviously see that there are some athletes out there in the boxing world who have a very good balance of happy and then switching on when you're in the ring. As an individual who I know personally as a very kind, caring, you know, nice bloke, do you find that you struggle to switch it on in the ring, or do you find that because you enjoy what you do and obviously the reason why you started is kind of like your burning desire and passion?
Yeah, I do definitely struggle. I think if you're in a ring with someone, you know, it's hard. Like, punch someone in the head.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes once you get hit yourself once, you're like, nah, like the competitive nature just takes over. It's like, no, I'm not having this. I'm not going to let this run. I'm not going to let this guy in the ring beat me up, so I've got to beat him up harder.
Yeah, I get that. And it's an interesting concept. I mean, boxing has been a huge sport for many, many years. I do have a question I've been dying to ask you.
Yes.
Can you lose your gloves as a boxer because are your hands not classified as weapons, correct?
Yeah, they are, yes.
So you could, if you got in an altercation as an individual with someone in everyday life and you were to clock them, could you lose your gloves? Is that a thing?
So that is if, like, you're a professional.
Okay.
Say, for example, in a situation where if it's self-defense, I think everyone is reasonable. Mm-hmm. But if you've gone out on a night out and you've got to just clock someone first, unprovoked, or there was an easier option and you just said, rather taking that, you've gone and punched him, you can lose your boxing license.
Okay.
And I think rightly so, and I think any boxer would agree to that.
Yeah, okay. So it's like you have a license, or you have like an insurance policy, and it's like if you burn that bridge, you're kind of burnt and stung for life, and you can't do other combat sports, or you're able to move on to another sport.
I'll be honest, I'm not too sure.
Okay.
I think different combat sports have different rules.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Yeah, I'm not too sure with, let's say, Muay Thai or something like that, but with definitely boxing, you can't.
Okay, fine. Right, where would you see yourself in 5 years when it comes to boxing? So you're mid-20s? You're young 20s?
Late 20s. I wish I was mid-20s.
No, you're not. You're mid-20s still, aren't you?
No, I'm 28, unfortunately. Getting close to 30.
Yeah, an old boy now. Okay, so where do you see yourself in 5 years with your boxing?
5 years with my boxing, I definitely see myself, I want to be a regular person on Misfits and holding a belt. I've had 2 belts already, and I just want to keep adding to the collection.
So Misfits is the goal.
Yeah.
Are you looking to do that soon? Is that the end of the 5-year plan to have your first fight, or to start having multiple fights on Misfits soon and then work your way up?
Definitely start having multiple fights on Misfits and then work my way up. By 5-year plan, I want to be holding a champ. I want to be a champ, have a belt. I want everyone to remember my name, Paul Lieber, Misfits champion.
Okay, love that. Right, well, Misfits, if you're listening, then Paul is after you, and he wants to get in the ring for you guys. Right, let's move on to something a little bit closer to home, but obviously you and Tasha split up at the end of last year. How have you been?
I've been good, to be honest. Just focused. Lucky the boxing match came around, so I just threw myself 100% to that. Just working out, training, keep myself positive.
So would you say, for anyone who's grieving or going over heartbreak, that boxing is a great sport to maybe kind of go into and kind of help you get over things like that?
I definitely would say boxing is a great sport to get into. It's something you have to focus and keep, put 100% into it. You can't get distracted when you're in the ring or you get hurt.
Yeah, well, I totally get that. Okay. Are you seeing anyone at the moment? Are you dating anyone? Are you just kind of being a free spirit? What are you up to?
In all honesty, I'm just focused on the boxing. That's all I have time for at the moment, and that's all I'm just keeping myself busy with.
Okay, no
so
worries,
nothing
mate.
Going on.
Okay, so are there any plans for any future fights in the coming months? Are you gonna? How does it work after a fight? Because I know you recently had a fight. Yeah. How does it work now? Do you take some time away? Do you go back to weight training? Do you go back to just eating normally, training normally, living your life, and then wait for a fight to come about? Or how does it work in between fights?
So in between fights, so I've just had a fight. So usually you can take like a few days off. Just depends on your condition. So
how are you feeling after your fight then, first of all?
Sorry, so what was that?
How are you feeling after your fight then? We'll start.
Definitely feeling a bit sore. He got a few good hits on me, but I'm all recovered, so I'm just getting back into training. Usually this is a time where you can get back onto the weights, just get the strength up, just get the body, build the muscle up again, because you haven't done it in a while. And then usually what happens is people will pop up to you, be like, oh, I'll show you this fight. Or sometimes it's a case like this one, one of our fighters dropped off and I jumped in, so I only had like a 2-week, 3-week notice. So sometimes you can just pop along like that. It just depends how you feel at the time.
Okay, so have you taken many last-minute fights before?
I've done 2 or 3 last-minute fights. Usually I prefer them. There's no pressure. You're going into fight. You've not had that much prep. So win or lose, like, you've done well. When you win, it's even better.
Yeah, okay, I get you. Right, last few questions for you. 3 top favourite boxers. So obviously you said Usyk earlier, as you think he's the best ever. Yeah. Where who else would you put second and third then?
You gotta get Muhammad Ali. He's not even chess is boxing, but his mic skills is no one can beat it. Some of the stuff he says, you just think, how did he come up with that? Like, I wish I had his mic skills. I wish I can be talking to my opponent and put fear in them just through my words alone.
Nice.
And then the other one, it's gonna be Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He's a scary man. You look at him in his prime, you're like, Jesus Christ, after getting in the ring with that, like, they're braver man than me. I would be hesitating.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I'm no boxer myself or no fighter, but he's definitely a man that would strike fear into most people's eyes and most people's hearts, really. So,
completely agree.
Right, Paul, that is it from me. Where can we find you on social media?
So you can find me on Instagram, just Paul Lieber or LieberPaul96. Also, if you want to check me out on TikTok as well, Liverpool96, I'm there just making videos, boxing videos, and just a few fun things.
Amazing. Paul, thank you so much for your time. You're an absolute star. I will speak to you very soon. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for having me, George. Have a great day too.
Paul, take care. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye. Right, guys, coming up after this, I'll be joined by Dr. Edouard de Boinville, COO of the London Longevity Clinic.
FUPA Radio.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
I am joined now by Ricardo Mighty. He is the CEO of Mighty Labs.
I just think if you're going to get into crypto, you just can't think short term. If you're trying to, I don't know, like pay your bills next month and you think I'm going to invest in crypto this month and then I'm going to take the gains out and do something with, you just can't think like that, because 99.9% of the time, the market doesn't work the way you want it to work. It works how it's going to work. The longer you have your investment in crypto, most likely the better it will do.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Miss Chloe Brockett in the studio.
It got to the point where I wasn't enjoying it as much as I used to. I used to love it. You know, it was my life. I wasn't in relationships because I was going on TOWIE. I wasn't, you know, invested in anything other than the show because I loved it so much. And then as I got older, I just didn't enjoy it anymore. I noticed that the cast around me had changed, all the OGs had gone, and I'd all of a sudden become an OG at 23 and was a bit like, you know what, I don't think this is for me anymore.
Politics Uncensored.
They can't turn off your water because water is a human right. It's not like internet, which we can talk about.
Are you saying we should all stop paying?
I'm not saying we should all stop paying. I think no one should have to pay.
Their argument would be prices are going up. We need all this money because we have to invest in our ageing Victoria infrastructure, which hasn't, there's been no new infrastructure built in sewage, whatever, since the Victorian era. How would you respond to that?
They're talking out of their backside. It's bullshit of the highest order.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Burton, in for Gabby Allen. So before we start our chat with Eduardo, I wanted to talk about goals. And we're kind of, what are we? We're 6-7 weeks into the year. And I'm feeling that some of you who are listening might feel that your goals aren't really going anywhere, or maybe you're achieving exactly what you want. Now, I feel that a lot of people demonize certain amounts of progress. I see a lot of coaches online being like, look, so-and-so lost 4, 5, 6, 7 kilos in a month. And although that's great, we have to be looking at sustainable results for long-term, you know, progress. If you are losing a pound a week for 52 weeks, that is an astronomical amount of weight and something that you should be definitely proud of, and also something you should be looking at and giving yourself a big pat on the back, because that in a grand scheme of things means that's a whole year of positive consistency. Now, like, if you are doing, you know, anywhere between 2 and 4 kilos a month, and obviously this is if your goal is weight loss, because we do have an epidemic when it comes to obesity. So we have to understand that people out there want to lose weight, they can't lose weight, they don't know how to lose weight. Everything out there on the internet is free. But I think the thing is, most of us need to realize that sometimes we can't tackle things on our own, and we do have to have people hold our hand and help us. So with the goals, like I was saying, anything between half a pound to £2 or half a kilo to a kilo is a very, very acceptable goal to be achieving. You know, we can look at how you achieve these goals as well. Maybe setting yourself a SMART goal, giving yourself something that is specific, you know, measurable, something where you can kind of give yourself a time frame and something that you can really look at and go, I want to achieve this by this date, but also not being defeated by it and also not letting it get you down. We are going to go on to some listener questions first. So Ben is asking, is adding exercises for abs at the end of every workout useful? Yes, any form of exercise is useful and beneficial to you as an individual. Now, abs are the, in my eyes, they are one of the muscle groups that you can train all the time, and you can train them basically every day. Do training abs mean that you get abs? Absolutely not. Abs are very much down to A, genetics, but most importantly, B, body fat percentage. And that conversation that we keep coming back to, that's why we spoke about goals, and that's why we keep talking about why something sustainable is important. So training abs is great at the end of a workout. It can be used as a cool down. It can be used as a bit of a core strengthening circuit that you do. However you feel it's going to help you, focus on that and let that be the reason why, you know, you do that and add it to your workout. Mikey asks, is it worth investing in a weighted vest to make my workouts harder? Well, there are many, many ways to make your workout harder. First of all, increasing weight is the most important, because the more you increase weight, the stronger you get. The stronger you get, the more your muscles grow. It is absolute science. If you get stronger, your muscles are getting bigger. They might not look bigger, but they are definitely getting bigger because of cross-sectional area. If you cut the muscle in half, you will be bigger because, you know, when you get stronger, your muscles grow. So first of all, yes, it is worth investing in a weighted vest if you feel that that is going to help you with your goals. What is your goal? Going back to the previous conversation and topic, what is your goal? What are you looking to achieve? If you are a calisthenics individual, a weighted vest is amazing. If you are a CrossFitter or a HYROX athlete, a weighted vest is amazing. But there are other ways to make your workouts harder. Decreasing rest, increasing volume. Obviously, too much volume is going to knacker and fatigue your central nervous system, which in time will make you feel extremely fatigued and extremely tired. So, guys, we have got Edouard, who is joining us now on our call. So, Edouard, hello and welcome. How are you today?
Hello, I am great. Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. So you are COO of the London Longevity Clinic, correct?
Correct.
Amazing. Right. So how did you first get into the field of longevity?
Well, it happened 25 years ago. My grandma was ill. I wanted to save her. And there was Dolly the ship, you may remember. So it was born old, actually. It was this clone, you know. And I discovered that it was born old, which meant that there is something in the embryo that usually makes the newborn young. And so nature had something to make embryos young, which didn't happen for Dolly. So this was the beginning 25 years ago. And what I've just described is now known as the Yamanaka factors. Okay. So anyway, it was the beginning of something big, which is the longevity revolution.
Okay, right. Interesting stuff. Okay, so why do you think longevity has become such a hot topic recently?
Well, because we start to make animals live long, and now people as well. So that's a huge change. It was not possible up to 50 years ago. And now clearly we are on that path. So our lives are going to be very transformed. We will not just live 10 or 15 years longer because of physical exercise. We will live a lot longer. And this is thanks to the science.
Okay, right. Because I'm seeing a lot of articles at the moment on, you know, how cardiovascular health can improve longevity of life by like 400% and strength training can help by, you know, up to 350%, you know, along with the correlation of leg strength with, you know, the size of muscle mass in legs obviously has a correlation with longevity of life. I'm assuming you agree with all these things, right?
Yes, yes. Muscles are very important for health, of course.
Yeah, okay. Right, biohacking seems to be a big phrase at the moment. Can you tell us what it actually means?
Yes, so different people have different exact definitions for biohacking. But to make it simple, you hack your body. So you make something, a tweak, you do something unusual to your body for it, hopefully, to be better. So it concerns people who try things on themselves, or it concerns, depending on the definition, a set of techniques like ice bath or red light therapy or hyperbaric oxygen chamber, which are a bit like, I would say, forces around your body to make it adapt.
Okay. So I obviously know that there's lots of research on cold therapy and saunas. I obviously am a firm believer that, you know, saunas can reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease by, you know, I think it's like over 50%, or isn't it like 60%, something crazy like that, with I think it was like 20 minutes a couple of times a week. Is that correct, or are you...
I'm not sure of the exact numbers.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say the effect is that amazing.
Okay.
Because in Finland, you know, a lot of people have saunas.
Yes,
and
true.
Are not so healthy. Of course, health is a matter of many things. But yes, it contributes to better health. For the cardiovascular system is improved. Your skin is improved. Mm-hmm. And also you reduce inflammation. And as you know, it's good to reduce chronic inflammation from time to time.
Indeed. Okay. Lovely. Right. So you are the UK ambassador of the Rejuvenation Olympics. Can you tell us a bit more about this?
Yes. So as I said, 25 years ago, I felt that there was something new, this longevity revolution. It started with animals. So I was at some time Mr. Mice and rats.
Yes.
And then we started to do biohacking, which is to test on ourselves. This was at the time the definition of biohacking. Mm-hmm. We created a community of biohackers. One of them is the famous Brian Johnson, you know, this US person who makes a lot of noise about all he does every day. But he's not the only one. So he's the one behind the Don't Die film that a lot of people have seen recently.
Yes.
And so there is a community. When you want things to be a bit scientific, it's good to make measures. And so they have put in place this Rejuvenation Olympics. So basically, you take an epigenetic test. So it's you get a little bit of blood out of your finger. You put it on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And it tells you how old you are biologically, or at what speed you age, which means a bit how healthy your lifestyle is currently, to make it simple.
Fascinating.
And so there is a competition. And so Brian Johnson might be in the first 10 persons right now.
Wow.
There are maybe 8,000 persons right now. And Brian Johnson and the company doing the epigenetic test, because I know them, because we created this community together, agreed that we represent them in this competition. So for people in the UK, that's the limit of our agreement. We have a specific prize and we can directly add anyone to this competition. So for £499, we can do this test and put you in the competition, which is a lower price than the rest of the market. And the goal is to make people, I would say, move their ass.
That's great. Yeah, it's true.
Put their name on the website on this competition, so their neighbors, their friend can see it, together with a number that is how healthy their current lifestyle is. And so the goal is to start maybe at the position 7,000, but then to go up, right?
Okay.
To try to beat others and maybe to beat Brian Johnson.
I mean, that's super smart. when you're turning it into a competition. Now, do you think genetics play a huge part in people's longevity, or do you think that, you know, with everything that's kind of happening now, people can really kind of change their path if they are cardiovascularly fit, they are hydrated, they eat well, they train, they have good muscle mass? Do you think obviously genetics play a huge part in how you can look physically and your muscle mass and your potential, but yeah, do you feel genetics play a big part in this?
So genetics play currently, but not for long anymore, I think,
okay,
a big part in how in the maximum lifespan in a population.
Okay.
So it's rare to reach the age of 110 if you don't have great genetics. However, for most people, genetics only plays a small role.
Okay.
Because even if you have, let's say, a bad APOE gene, which is a gene that is relatively frequently bad,
okay,
and that makes you your body badly ingest the oil you eat, well, you can have a healthy food, and then it's okay if you don't have this bad gene.
Mm.
So a lot can be handled with your lifestyle, a lot more than people thought. And it's not only about lifestyle, and I guess that's maybe a point where you want to push me after. It's we have drugs that make animals live long. It changes a bit the metabolism.
Mm.
Maybe there are ways to do biohacking, like breathing techniques or whatever, to do the same. But for now, we know some biohacking techniques, some basic food, sleep, physical exercise techniques, and drugs. This is currently what we have.
Okay, okay. Well, I mean, I might live quite long because my grandmother's still alive and she's 104, and my grandfather passed away at 98. So maybe I've got a good gene in my body. Who knows?
Yes, of course. Because in the past, people didn't used to live as long as today.
No, of course.
We probably have great genes.
Yeah.
Now, their genes were, it's good to know what your parents and grandparents suffered from, because you may want to try to avoid this, right?
Yeah.
And as you can guess, as soon as you think of that, lifestyle comes first. So if they have a specific disease, you can try to get around it, right?
Okay. What is the most exciting research you are conducting at the moment? Is there anything that you're, you know, really excited about or super proud of?
Yes. So one of them is rapamycin. Rapamycin is a drug that was able to extend the lifespan of every animal where we tried it. So it's the best candidate for us to live long. However, it's unsure how to use it in people. The reason, for example, is that the mice, they had it in their food, so a bit of it every day. And it was discovered that it's good to do a J-curve, you know, like a physical exercise.
Yes.
You do physical exercise and then you let the body regenerate, because rapamycin somehow deteriorates some aspects of the body, and then the body repairs, just like physical exercise.
Mm, yeah, of course.
So in mice, the mice had rapamycin for a week and then no rapamycin for a week in their food. Okay. In people, we went to this decision that to take rapamycin at a big dose one day and then not during the rest of the day, as if you were doing half a marathon on Sunday.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's really a great choice. It might be. It's just a bit a decision in the air, I would say.
Yes.
What I'm doing right now with a couple of friends and with a collaboration in China is to try different techniques and to measure things on health. And so we will see. And the reason why it's very important is because we are not able to see if people are going to live long. We just need to measure health.
Yeah.
And this is the best candidate for us to gain maybe two or three or more decades, in addition to physical exercise and other things.
Okay. Well, that leads me on to my next question, which is going to be, what are your top tips for living longer? If you could maybe give us three.
Three? So I'll try to make them a bit fun, if I may.
Go for it.
So maybe start with a sardine in the morning.
Okay. Les sardines. Okay.
Sardine, yes. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, are you French too?
Oui.
So because it's full of proteins and you don't want to take too much sugar, and you have this bone, you know, so this is really calcium, right? When you look through milk, you don't see calcium.
Mm.
So here you have your dose of proteins and lipids and... So So that's one. Another one, still in the morning, open your eyes, look at the window to stimulate your hormones in the morning, your cortisol, because we have some receptors, as you know.
Yes.
And maybe similarly, in the evening, try to have some red light in your atmosphere, I would say, but not blue light, because that's the same receptors. Yes. And you want to sleep. And usually when you see the TV, for example, it's going to activate your receptors. And so your body will be awake, which is not good for sleep.
Yeah. And then number three?
Oh, okay. That was two, three.
Oh, okay. That's two and three. No, that's perfect. That's perfect. Okay.
Physical exercise. That's okay. Very basic.
Amazing. Okay. Well, I mean, Edouard, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. Where can we find you? Do you have a website, a social media page?
Yes, so we have the londonlongevityclinic.co.uk.
Perfect. Okay, well, thank you so much for your time. Merci à vous, and à bientôt.
Au revoir, merci.
Merci, au revoir. Right, guys, that is it for today's show. I just wanted to thank our guests once again. A massive thank you to Scott, Paul, and Edouard for joining us today on What the Health. If any of you are looking to change your lives, then please reach out to me on social media. You can find me at George Burt or at gb.fitness.health. Let's jump on a call and I can show you how I can change your life. This is a reminder for you guys to download the app. You can get us at What the Health Show on Instagram. Thank you again for tuning in. This is me, George. Thank you. Goodbye.
Foodbar Radio.